All right, welcome back. 7:33 on Earth Gauge. And let's talk about the emerald ash borer beetle. Now, this I'm pleased to be joined by two guests, one in studio here with me at CKCU, and another on the line. I've got Dr. Meg Sears in studio. She's an environmental health researcher and advocate who has an interest in environmental issues, particularly environmental determinants of health, but also environmental issues including pesticides, biodiversity, and wetlands preservation, and toxic waste in groundwater. She joins me in studio, as I mentioned. Welcome, Meg, to CKCU Studios.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad you could join us. And on the line, I've got Sean Barker. He's with the Eastern Ontario Arborists. He's director of treedfeed.ca and, as I mentioned, the Eastern Ontario Arborists. Welcome, Sean. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, well, maybe we'll start with Meg. As I mentioned off the top of the program, I gave a little bit of an intro just on the emerald ash borer problem. But perhaps we can start with you, Meg. What is this emerald ash borer beetle, and why is it here in Ottawa now, as well as some other North American cities?
Well, the emerald ash borer came across from Asia, probably in a wooden packing crate, almost 20 years ago, and it was detected about 10 years ago in Detroit and very shortly thereafter in Windsor. And this little beetle, it's emerald-colored, it lives in ash trees. It emerges just for a couple of months a year, and then it lays its eggs up in the top of the ash tree, and then these tiny little larvae start at the top and they nibble their way down, eating up the cambium, which is the tissue in the tree that transmits the water and the nutrients from the roots and to the leaves and back again to the roots. And so as this cambium gets destroyed, the tree dies from the top down. And it came to Ottawa, was detected in 2008. So we've had 5 years of this. And during this 5 years, this beetle its population has been exploding exponentially. So we now have a lot of them around. And there are no natural enemies yet, although they're on their way, for this emerald ash borer. So right now, if your tree has emerald ash borer in it, then it's a death sentence for that tree unless it gets treated. But we do have a really effective treatment for it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here today to really encourage people to figure out if the tree in their front yard or backyard is an ash tree. Okay. If it is, then get it treated, and we can save it.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that, for sure, some of the solutions. But first, maybe we can just go talk a little bit more about the problem itself. Now, Sean, you're an arborist, also director of treedfeed.ca, and I just wanted you to give us some idea, perhaps, of why the beetle is so devastating to these ash trees. Is it a problem of invasive species that the trees have never had to deal with this kind of pest before?
Yeah, well, the part of the issue is that the emerald ash borer has no natural predators as of yet. Excuse me, in our region, in Asia, it would have a natural predator being parasitoid wasps and so on. But here it doesn't, so it has nothing to keep its numbers in check. So it is in our region right now, it's one of the only parasites of trees that will kill the tree. It'll completely kill its host.
Okay.
What they do is they start by feeding from the top of the tree all the way down so that they can raise their population and be most effective in breeding, because if they fed from the bottom of the tree up, the tree above it would die, and they wouldn't be able to carry on their breeding processes in that tree.
Okay.
So their numbers are growing exponentially per tree.
And how do you know if a tree has been infected or infested with the beetle?
Well, the first signs we look for is crown thinning, or the beetle itself, but it's pretty rare to find the beetle. Around this time of year, you may see them flying around, but they spend most of their time up in the canopy. So without being up in the tree, you really need to look for crown thinning. And on the outer edges, if you look up to the outer edges of the tree, you may see some feeding on the leaves in a C-shaped pattern, just like cuts out of the edge of the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then also leaf minimization. If your tree starts to look like it has smaller leaves in the canopy, especially upper canopy, that's typically a sign that the translocation system is being attacked.
Okay. And since its arrival in North America in 2002, the beetles had a devastating impact and across 14 U.S. states, southern Ontario, and now, of course, the Ottawa Valley and eastern townships. It's said that it's killed at least 10 million trees so far. So, Sean, I take it this is a very serious problem for Ottawa to deal with?
It is a very serious problem. Now, there's been definitely more response this year, which is fantastic. It would have been nice 4 years ago when it was a lot more controllable. But I mean, we need to do the best we can right now. We are treating 7 days a week to try and control these, and we are getting extremely good success with our injections. And these trees are savable. There's a lot of regions that are heavily hit, and you will notice that trees are dying rapidly. So it is very devastating to that we're losing a lot of mature trees. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, so it kills the tree quite quickly then, does it?
It can. Typically older trees, larger trees, are more resistant to it just because they kill it by population. When the tree reaches a certain amount, there's only so many beetles per each tree can hold. Because each larva feeds on the tissue. It's the larval stage that kills the tree. The adult stage, the female must feed on the ash leaves in order to lay her eggs and have viable eggs. So what she does, she just feeds on the foliage, which the tree can sustain. It's not they can heal their foliage. Okay. It's the live tissue, the cambium layer, that the larva are feeding on. When they first enter the tree around this time of year and into July, they're not overly large. They're not really doing major damage. They're doing some, definitely, but it's as they get larger into August and September before winter where they really create havoc, and the larval stages get larger. They triple and quadruple in size and feed on large amounts of tissue, and they really deplete the tree's translocation system.
Okay. And this isn't a global warming, climate change related problem. This is hitchhiked over here, I suppose, from Asia on a trading ship or something like that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's a transported pest. That's why we need to. That's why this controls on transporting wood. So if you go camping, don't take firewood with you. Buy it there.
Okay. Okay, Meg, let's go back to you and start. You mentioned off the top about some of the possible solutions to this and how trees can be treated or how we can deal with the problem. First of all, can the spread of the emerald ash borer beetle be stopped at all?
Well, no. The worms are out of the can here.
Okay.
And so emerald ash borer is here to stay. And eventually, the emerald ash borer is going to fade into the background. In Asia, where it comes from, it's a very minor pest, and so it's not a big problem. There are a bunch of insects that lay their eggs in the beetle, or the beetle's eggs that kill off the beetle and keep it under control. There's also fungi that do that, and so on. So there's a lot of natural controls which are researched. They're being introduced in the States. Their paperwork is just about done. They're going to be here fairly soon. So in the long term, emerald ash borer is going to be minor and it's not going to be a big problem. What we have to do now is to save the trees in the interim.
Right.
And so it's a stopgap measure, and that's what Sean is working so hard doing. Mm-hmm. And it's a case in Ottawa of Ottawa having a huge number of ash trees.
Yeah, how many do we have? Do you know?
I don't know how many we have total, but just on the city of Ottawa properties, and so these are these big mature trees with their canopies cooling the entire street, they have 75,000 ash trees.
Just on
Ottawa property.
Wow.
And so once these trees die, they get really brittle, and they're a big hazard. And so it's, the city of Ottawa is looking at having to spend probably, $100 million. It's not budgeted. We don't have this budgeted. Mm-hmm. $100 million to take down these trees. It's spreading really quickly. We're looking at these trees dying within the next few years.
Okay.
So $100 million out of the blue, they're going to have to do it because otherwise these trees come crashing down on people and houses and cars. And we're basically facing a tree disaster, which is going to be very expensive. And this can be avoided by injecting these trees. It's extremely effective. The city of Ottawa is spending on average $245 to save a tree for now. Mm-hmm. This, and then the trees have to be reinjected every couple of years. Okay. We don't know precisely when these natural controls are going to become established here in Ottawa, but you know, within the next decade, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're sort of looking into the future, but it is possible to save these trees now, and it's probably much more prudent, not only for all of the natural benefits yeah. from trees, because they remove particulates and ozone and VOCs, and they cool, and yeah. they increase property values, so there's huge values from trees that we're going to lose. Mm-hmm. So the best bargain, by far, is to save as many ash trees as we possibly can.
Okay, and the approach that I've heard there too, you can either cut down the tree, which obviously is an extreme solution, or you can inject them. And what's the city been doing so far, and are you happy with how they're addressing the problem?
The city has largely been burying its head in the sand. It has a strategy which it kind of put together in 2008, which consisted of not moving wood and not doing much else. So far, the city has injected between 1 and 3% of all of its trees, and it's not doing much to tell people about it. The homeowners don't even know that it's an ash tree that's in their front yard. They don't know that it's dying. They just think, oh, this doesn't look quite the same as it used to. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that by the end of the year, probably that tree is going to have to be cut down. So this is a huge issue that we're really glad to be here today to help to raise awareness, because the city should be doing it. Oakville won a prize for its really progressive stance in preserving ash trees and public education. We've been asking for a meeting with the mayor for months, and he still won't talk to us.
Okay. To ask him to come up with some kind of strategy. Is that what you want from the mayor?
Yes, we want the mayor to take some leadership and to shift money into injecting these trees right now, because we only have until the end of August to save a lot of these trees.
Okay.
And even if it, you know, as Sean says, it may not look all that bad now, but last year the city really got caught with its pants down, because there were trees which in June and July they said, oh, they look okay, we can wait to treat them, and they were dead by September.
Right. Okay, so the city needs to take more aggressive action on this. And is it a cheaper option to inject the trees rather than, of course, cutting them down when it's too late? I assume it would be
absolutely.
Much more cost-effective.
Yes, yes. The, okay. You know, the taxpayers across the city are going to have to pay to take down all of these trees,
yep.
which is a lot more money than injecting them. And on top of that, the people who have the trees are losing property value and all those other benefits.
Absolutely. Okay, Sean, back to you. You're an arborist, and how have you been involved with this? Are you actively working now in doing tree injections and that kind of thing?
Yes, actually, I'm on a street today where we'll be treating, we're on Wingate in Ottawa, and we will be treating multiple city ash trees.
Okay.
We're one of the city's providers for emerald ash tree injections.
Yeah.
So, ash tree injections, and we will be, we were approved to do injections on city trees as long as we follow a certain process. And we're going to be saving multiple trees today. I'm actually looking at them right now. There's some trees that are in poorer health than others, but we'll be assessing them before injections. We're saving. We're on about 7 properties on average per day per truck that we're out, and usually multiple trees on those properties are being saved. So we're saving quite a few trees. We have an extremely high success rate. I'm at right now. We're still at 100%, which is survival rate. We have not lost a tree yet, which is. I mean, even the creators of trees are amazed at this point. We feel it's actually due to the fact that we deep root feed our trees as well, which helps regenerate tissue and foliage.
Mm-hmm.
During the injection. The
And I was just going to ask, would you agree with Meg's assessment as well, then, that the city needs to take aggressive action and come up with some kind of strategy that involves a widespread injection campaign?
Definitely. We need to be more aggressive on getting these treatments out there, getting the information out there, because a lot of people are still iffy about whether or not to treat their tree. I mean, they need to be treated. Those are your options. You either treat your tree and save it, or at least give it a chance. I mean, we'll treat a tree as long as it's not going to be a hazard. If I think I can save half of a tree and we can prune it to make it safe, then we'll do that. I'd rather save a mature stem and recreate a new tree than just remove a mature tree for just to try and save costs.
If someone thinks they might have an infestation problem but they're not sure, is there anyone they can call or?
They can call us. They can fill out an estimate request form on our website, and we will send them an estimate. And then when we assess the tree, we'll be able to tell them what's in it, whether or not the boar has attacked it.
What's the website, Sean?
The website is www.easternontarioarborists.ca.
Okay.
When we show up to do the injections, we always assess the trees. We've created a numbered system, so we can number the tree between 1 and 5, whether it's not treatable, 5 being a perfect tree and 1 being a dead tree. Now, what we do is we assess those trees, and we will treat. We typically treat between a 3 and a 5, and a 2 is to be discussed with the client. That's where there's going to need to be pruning approved, so that we can make that tree safe and try to save at least the lower section of the tree if there's still some strong foliage in the bottom end.
Okay.
Because live tissue will still be prominent in the bottom end of that tree if there's still foliage up in throughout the tree.
Okay, and what about concerns with the injection itself? I mean, people might be concerned about the use of, I assume it's a pesticide, insecticide of some kind.
Yeah, so it's what's known as, more commonly known as a biopesticide. It breaks down in the environment quite quickly. It's a very safe product. It's a class 4. So there's no signage required. It's injected directly into the tree. We're not spraying it on the tree. We're not spraying it on the lawn. The tree is completely absorbent. It's as safe a system as possible for, I mean, I think this is the future for tree care, for all pests and all pest control, which actually Bioforce has given me, called me and told me that they will be getting full registration for trees this year, which is fantastic. It's going to be registered for multitude of other pests that it's going to be labeled for, and there'll be less restrictions on it as well, starting the end of this year and into next year.
Okay. Just a minute left. We're going to have to wrap it up, so we'll give the last word to you, Meg. What do you think... Well, we've talked a little bit about what people can do and what the city should be doing, but it sounds like it's quite a crisis situation now. And in the next couple of years, can Ottawa expect to lose a lot of trees if we don't take swift action?
Yes, Ottawa is definitely going to see a lot barer streets, hotter streets. And I just wanted to mention that.
Please do. Yeah.
One thing we're really encouraging people to do is to kind of make things as efficient as they possibly can for people like Sean and all of the others, and get together with their neighbors, because there are just so many trees, your neighbors are going to be affected too. Get together, maybe you can get some kind of combined rate or something like that, and make sure that you treat all the trees on your street or in your neighborhood, and then it will be much more efficient as well. Because we have limited, there's lots of the biopesticide available, but we have limited supplies of men on the ground who are actually doing this, so we want to be really as efficient as possible. Get the word out to your neighbors and get together and do this. You only have until the end of August this year. I was first interested
until the end of August, until for what?
You have until the end of August to do the injections, because after August, then they're no longer effective.
Oh, I see.
That's the rules for this particular biopesticide.
Okay.
I would agree entirely with Sean. I first got interested in this because it was a pesticide, and that raised alarm bells for me. This is the first time that I have ever recommended that people actually use a pesticide.
Okay.
I've been out against a lot of pesticides,
yeah,
and this is fantastic. It's very important.
Anything else people can do to help prevent the spread? I assume they have to pay for their own injections, right? It's
yes. Well, people should be getting in touch with City Hall, because
okay,
City Hall has only is only injecting a very small number of their trees.
Okay.
You know, 2% of all of their trees they're injecting. Other cities are injecting 10-20%. So we have to ramp that up, and that's a political decision. Right now the political decision has been made based on old science. But now, today, in 2012, the science is telling us that by far and away the best option is to be injecting these trees.
Okay.
So the city trees, the city should be paying for, but private homeowners can get permission from the city to pay for it themselves.
Okay. And anything else you wanted to mention before we sign off? Anything else people can do or measures that they should be taking?
Apart from not moving firewood and public education, there's a Bioforest website. Bioforest is the company that developed this triazin, which is a made-in-Canada biopesticide. Bioforest.ca has a lot of information on identifying your ash trees and about the injections.
Okay, great. So that was bioforest.ca, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Well, I suppose we have to leave it there. We're getting near the top of the hour. So I want to thank you again, both Sean and Meg, for joining me today. I've been speaking with Dr. Meg Sears. She's an environmental health researcher and advocate, and Sean Barker, who's with the Eastern Ontario Arborists and director of treefeed.ca. So thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. My pleasure.
Great. Okay, and we are going to move along quite quickly here, because we do have a few more issues to cover before we get to the top of the hour and make way for the second part of the Special Blend and David Yazbek.